Today, I want you to direct your attention, if you will, to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We're talking today about how we can, you know, what is God really like? And today and next week, we're going to talk about this. And then the following week, we're going to begin a series on the names of God. What's in a name? And I promise you that on the second Sunday of February, if you're here, I will blow your mind. So please, mark it, be here, second Sunday of February, as we talk about the names of God. If you will, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. I'm going to read a little more than is on your listening sheet. "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." Our message truth today is that humans have always sought to conceptualize images of God in order to satisfy our curiosity and our need for worship. And these ideas often are inaccurate. Can we know God by thinking about him? I believe the answer is no. This process of thinking about God and fashioning him after our own imagining is the age-old sin of idolatry. Only our means of knowing God is through his revelation. He's our only means of knowing him. God reveals himself to us in two ways, general and special revelation. He is the living word. The Bible is the word written. Today we are going to examine four aspects of God's characteristics which the special revelation of his written word revealed to us. Actually, we'll only do one today. We're going to talk about the Trinity today. When I was a little boy, one of my earliest memories is my mother reading the Bible to me and praying. And as a little boy, I remember having the idea, my first God thought, the first thing I can remember thinking about God is that God and Mary lived in a red house on a cloud up in the sky. That's what I thought. Now, when Joseph was introduced, it kind of muddied the waters for me. You understand where Joseph fit in this picture I had of God. Now, as a child, my understanding of God was very, very immature. As I grew and as I read the Word of God, I've come to understand how the different components of that early reckoning of God, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, all fit together. Today, I want you to think about people you know who have never accepted the special revelation of God, which is this word, but instead are thinking themselves about who God is. Many of the ideas you hear people express to you about God are like that little child I was, having that idea of God and Mary and Jesus in a red house on a cloud. They are immature, childish thinkings. They are not the kind of theology one can be saved from. It's just general revelation. God reveals to us, generally, we know there's a God. Think about all the wonderful people in this room. You don't realize, unfortunately, I'm one of the few people standing in this room who knows just about everybody in the room. If you're our first-time guest today, I don't know you yet, but I will get to know you if I possibly can. But you're seated today around a very talented group of people. There are people in this room who can do anything. We've got folks who can make anything out of wood, folks who can make anything out of metal. We've got firemen, we've got nurses, we've got mechanical engineers. What we don't have and we need some more of is some finance people. We've got folks who retired from managing organizations. We've got individuals who currently manage organizations. We've got several people who work at Lockheed or who have worked at Lockheed. Welders. We've got people who can do all manner of things. Now, the reason I share all that with you is I just want you to understand something. In this room is an amount of talent. Imagine how you think about God when you see people do something wonderfully. When I hear someone play an instrument wonderfully, or hear someone sing, or I see a piece of art, it makes me go, wow! It makes me think about God. When I see a beautiful sunset, It makes me go, wow, and I think about God. I see the stars at night. I go, wow, and I think about God. That's general revelation. There are things in this life, on this planet, people you know, who just knowing them, just seeing things that they do, causes you to go, wow, that's general revelation. But general revelation can only lead you so far. It's just like my little childish idea of who God is. We need God to reveal Himself to us for us to fully and totally know Him. And it is only through the Word of God, Jesus, and the Word of God written that we can have that full understanding. Too many people, based on their own false understanding, think two things that are on your listening sheet there about God that are wrong. Two misunderstandings, common misunderstandings about God. The first one is that God's all-accepting. The Greeks, did you ever, when you're in school, have to read Greek mythology? Messed up people, weren't they? You see, the Greek gods, the reason the Greek gods were so messed up is when people make and fashion gods like them, then their gods will have the same human foibles and frailties that the people have. So, some people, because they are making a god like themselves, they think, therefore, that God is all accepting, and then you can do whatever you want to, God's going to accept it. And that's not true. God will accept you, but just like in what we read earlier, you've got to love Him. You've got to be wholeheartedly devoted to Him. You've got to give up some things for that to happen. The second mistake commonly made in thinking about God is that God is impersonal, that He can't be known. He's up there where we can't reach Him, touch Him, or know Him. He doesn't want to be disturbed. Deism talks about this, that God created the earth and then kind of left, and He's in a corner of the universe somewhere, not listening to us anymore. Well, that's wrong too. Now, I've told you many, many times that we can't understand everything there is to know about God. And I want to qualify that today. While it is true that we can't know with 100% accuracy everything we should know about God, we can know things adequately. I can know enough about God to be saved. I can know enough about God to turn from my sin. I can know enough about God to forgive others. I can know enough about God. I can have adequate knowledge of God, even though I can't have 100% accurate knowledge. And so we're going to go to the text today now and see what we can understand about the Trinity, knowing in the beginning our disclaimer, truth in advertising. I will not be able to explain to you with 100% accuracy the Trinity today. Hopefully I'll be able to explain it adequately, but not 100% accuracy. Okay? So, look if you will at your listing sheet. God is a tri-unity. God is a tri-unity, or we call that the Trinity, a tri-unity. I think that phrasing helps me better grasp it. First passage we want to read is from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So, the Trinity is three in one. So we want to begin by stressing one. God is one God. We as Christians do not worship pagan gods. We don't worship 7, 8, 10, a panoply of gods. And we don't even worship three gods. Some people mistakenly think that the Trinity means you're worshiping three gods. And to that I say, no. Hear, O Israel, there is but one God. One God. We have one God. Okay? One Lord. Isaiah 44:6-8 says, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? Yea, even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. God is swearing by Himself that He's it. Now my point here is I want to stress you, one God. One God. One God. The first and last. One God. Beside me, there is no other. But then, we have to talk about God the Son, and God the Spirit. So let's take a break and see if we can understand something simple. I'm an individual. That makes sense? Everybody with me? I'm one person. One of my teachers who I loved, who without him I would be in jail and dead, there's no doubt in my mind. Mr. Andrew Small. He was a black principal back in the day when they integrated. That's how old I am, by the way. I was in school when we used to go to school separate races in America, and then we integrated the races. And Mr. Andrew Small, one of the smartest people I ever met, and when they integrated our high schools, if there had been justice in America, he'd have been the principal. He should have been the principal. And the football coach. But there wasn't justice in America because he was black, so he was the assistant principal. And Mr. Andrew Small took me under his wing, and he used to, I can just see him. He'd get in front of the class, and he wanted to let us know that we could do anything we wanted to do. And he was also a Baptist pastor there in town. And he would take his finger. I can't do it the way he did it. And he had a part in his hair on this side, and he would run that finger through that part, and he would say, "You're a protoplasmic individual. Every one of you are protoplasmic individuals." Now, protoplasm is what we're all made out of. You know, he was trying to get down to your essence. But my point in telling you that story is this. As an individual, each of us, just you, nobody else, in me, I am three different things. I am, individually, a father. I have two sons. They're sitting over there. I am a father. I, individually, am also a son. Now, my parents are deceased. I can't show you them, but I am a son. And, individually, I am the husband of Pam. I come alongside her. I am her helpmate. She is my helpmate. We're helpers of each other. So in myself, I am a father, a son, and a helper. God individually, one God, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the helper, the parakletos, the one who comes alongside and helps us. Okay? That's how I understand it in my little mind, finite, tiny though it is. So with that idea, let's now go to John's gospel and see what he says about Jesus. Because Jesus is, when you want to think about who God is and what God is really like, you have to think about Jesus. Because when God chose to manifest himself or show himself to the world, he chose to show us himself through his son, Jesus. This is why I don't like people who tell me that God's a woman. Okay? Have nothing against women. God could be a woman if he had chosen to be a woman. Because as a spirit, God is neither male nor female. But when God chose to reveal himself to mankind, God chose the form of a male. And because Jesus is the perfect representation of God, I think it is wrong for me to think of God in female terms, because when he chose to reveal himself, he chose the form of a male. That makes sense? So when you hear someone talking about Father God, Mother God, you should go, "Whoa! Father God, I'm with you. Mother God, I'm checking out." Biblically, that's in error. Okay? So look what he says. John 1, verse 1 and 2. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now this idea of the Word being with God, being God, there's some important things to learn there. In the beginning was the Word. This idea of word is not translated well into English. If you read this in the original language the Bible was written in, the Greek New Testament, the Koine Greek, the word for word is logos. So it literally is saying, in the beginning was the logos. Logos would tell everybody who's hearing what he's talking about. He's not just talking about speech. If you go to the book of Proverbs and read chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there, Proverbs, you find out that by wisdom everything was created, that God used wisdom, and that wisdom's crying out in the street for people to pay attention to her, and that no one will. Well, it's wisdom, this logos, this idea of knowledge, by God's amazing all ability to know everything. He created everything. In the beginning was the Word. And so you've got Jesus, the Word of God, enfleshed, and Jesus, the Word of God, written. By the Word was everything created. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this Word becomes human flesh. If you go back now and you look at John in chapter 1, verse 14 and 17, and the Word became flesh, the Logos became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus really lived on planet Earth, and God the Son had a flesh body like you do. And when you and I are tempted to sin, so was He. He knows how it feels to be tempted. Yet unlike you and I, when He was tempted, He didn't sin. Oscar Wilde said that he had learned how best to deal with temptation was the moment one is tempted, yield immediately. That's human nature. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus put up the fight. He literally refused to yield to temptation to the point of His own death. At any moment He could have yielded, but He didn't. He had the capacity to yield, but He chose not to. So Jesus is God and man, the Son of God. How all that works, remember I told you, I can explain it adequately, but I can't explain it with 100% accuracy. So we have God the Son, Jesus, the Word of God. And so Scripture teaches us three things there about on your listening sheet, that the Word was in the beginning, that the Word was with God, and that the Word is God. So Jesus, the Word was in the beginning, He was with God, and He is God. Now, let's now move a little further into the Scripture. Isaiah chapter 48. I believe I have found a passage that has the Trinity in it, in the Old Testament. And I would like for you to be proud of me. I would really like for you to understand what a wonderful kernel, what a wonderful gold nugget, what a big diamond I have found in Isaiah. I mean, this is one of those moments when you're reading the Bible, you go, Eureka! Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16 and 17. So if you have your Bible with you that you read every day, you need to mark this one in there. This is something you need to know where it is. Come near me and listen to this. From the first announcement I have spoken in secret, at the time it happens I am there, and now the Sovereign Lord has sent me with His Spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. So in the last phrase of verse 16, I see the Trinity. And now the Sovereign Lord, that's God the Father. God the Father is the Sovereign Lord, has sent me. The me here I believe to be Jesus, the Redeemer. Because the next verse, the context, He's talking about, I am the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That's Jesus. And He has sent me with His Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. Sovereign Lord with me and His Spirit. There they are, all three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah. Big find. That's what they should be leading the news with tonight. Were the world properly organized, there it is. But it's not. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Also, I think I find the Trinity there. Or I find something unusual if not the Trinity there. Look at that. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible is telling us how God makes man. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. And God said, let us make man in our image. Us and our are important there. If there wasn't a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, wouldn't the text say, and God said, let me make man in my image? There's some kind of plurality in play. God is having a conversation with himself. And he's using us and our. Let us make man, and ladies, now ladies, man here is not, it's mankind, okay? Not just men. Don't let him go home and tell you, you're not in the image of God. Let us make mankind in our image. Now, if you take that idea, who's the us? Who is the us? You have to ask that question. Who is this? I think it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, let's take it a little further. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the absolute first verse in the Bible. I'm going to quote it first in Hebrew. Just like it, if you get the Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament, here's what you would read. Now, you would read it this way. It's on this page and goes this way. So it's right hand of the page. So you have to open from the back end of the book. Then you open it. It says, Bereshith bara Elohim. Eith hashemayim wa'eith haharetz. Translated, that means, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The word Bereshith bara Elohim, the word Elohim is the word God. And we're going to be talking about Elohim on the third Sunday, I think, of February. The word Elohim is in the plural. Now, in Hebrew, plural is different than plural in English. In English, we have singular, which means one, right? You with me? Everybody got singular? Got that? Just making sure you're paying attention. Then plural in English is two, right? Two or more. Not so in Hebrew. Hebrew's got singular. Hebrew has another thing called dual for two. So you've got singular and dual. So in Hebrew, you could differentiate Pam and Warner as a couple from Warner and his family. Warner and his family would be plural. Warner and Pam would be dual. And you tell by the way the word's spelled. Okay? And Warner would be singular. The Elohim, the ending, the Yod and the Mem, Im, is how it's said, Im, that tells you that it's plural. So, in the beginning, the first word in the Bible about God is in the plural. Bereshith bara Elohim. We have a Trinity. And then as you keep reading down in Genesis, you see the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. So, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are revealed to us in the special revelation of the written Word of God. And I can stand here with great confidence and say to you that God is one God, and He reveals Himself to us in three personalities, Father, Son, and Spirit. And I can further say, I do not fully, with 100% accuracy, understand how it works, but I have adequate knowledge that it does, that I can place my faith in Him and believe. Now, I have a picture that is on your listing sheet that I'm also proud of. I would like to talk to you about that picture for a moment. You see the triangle with the little circles? I really don't know who invented this. I can tell you where I got it. I got it from a guy named Richard Lewis, who was the pastor at the Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, I don't know where he got it, But I have his permission to use it. Not written, he may have forgot, but I did ask. But look, if you will, in the middle, the center circle, God, one God. But God, that one God is, if you go up, Father. God is Father. And God, if you come down, is Son. And God is Holy Spirit. That's what we've talked about thus far. I get that. I feel comfortable with that. What blows my mind is how then you say that Father is not Spirit, and Spirit is not Son, and Son is not Father. That's where I lose it. And I go, well, okay, that's what I'm going to have to exert my faith to believe. I don't understand that part 100%. Be honest, I don't understand that part 5%. But I believe it 100%. Okay? So God is Father, God is Son, God is Spirit. God is one God, yet He is not. Father is not Spirit. Spirit is not Son. Son is not Father. But He's God. Now, the reason I share all this with you today is I want you and I to be a church that is capable of carrying on a dialogue with people in our workplace, where we go to school, even our own home. I want us to be apologists for the faith. Now, apologist doesn't mean you're making apologies for God. Apologist means you're making a defense for God, a defense for the faith. Now, I want you to be able to talk to someone intellectually, intelligently about the Trinity, because there's a lot of confusion out there about the Trinity. And there should be. If someone stands up and says to you, I'm going to explain what perfect knowledge I have about the Trinity today, you should get up and leave. No one understands these things completely. No one can. Why is that? Because we have finite minds, and God is an infinite God. And how can someone with a finite mind understand an infinite God? We can't. Now, why is it that ladies and men, you know, something else I want you to see, and I want you to understand what faith is. Okay, now ladies, you might want to write this down. I want to answer a question for you. And the question is, how are men and government bonds different? How are men and government bonds different? You write that down. Trust me, you'll be using this tomorrow. You'll be telling people this at work tomorrow. How are men and government bonds different? Question mark. Answer, you ready? Well, at least the government bonds will eventually mature. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Told you, you'll be using that tomorrow. Now, the reason I share that with you is I want you to understand this. When Pam and I got married, there are many, many things she has discovered over the 26 plus years that we've been married, things that I do that she does not understand. Matter of fact, there are things I do that make her cringe sometimes. There are things that I say that make her just want to, you know, just go, I don't know him. Don't know him. I'm not with him. Just walk away. And I'm fairly certain that every other woman in the room who is married or who has been married can say, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay? So how can you and I, who have those kinds of feelings about each other, live in marital bliss together? How does that happen? Well, there are a lot of things you don't understand about your spouse that you have to learn to accept. You just accept them for who they are. Men, I can make a case about women. We can go the other way with this thing. And I've told you this before. You should watch a man who tells you he understands women, because he'll lie about other things. Because there's no way a man can understand women. I don't think that's possible. I think you've got to be a woman to understand women, because I've overheard women having conversations about each other, asking, well, why did we do that? Why did I say that? They don't even understand. How could you? But I don't have to understand her to appreciate her. I don't have to understand her completely to love her totally. You will not understand every aspect, every attribute that God has, because He's beyond your thinking. But don't you want a God that's beyond your thinking more than you have a God of your own making? In times like these, we need a big God, not a little God. So I want you to be thinking with me as we, next week we'll be talking about how God is holy and just and those kinds of things. Be thinking about God. Start thinking about Him. Read your Bible every day. Go to that website. Read that devotion. Let that spark something in you. Get others to go to that website and read those devotions. Because what we want to begin to do is to spark discussions about God so that when you go to work and you're standing around the water cooler, wouldn't it be great that you're having a conversation about the Trinity instead of Brett Favre? Or Obama? Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be more constructive? Wouldn't it be of greater eternal significance to have those God discussions than the small talk we so often wish to make? I would like for us to become a church that is filled with people who not only are capable of having those God discussions, but are engaging others in them. We desire to have them. We look for them. Those are the moments that we need to be craving so we can share the good news that we have about God with others. Because in times like these, the good news about Jesus needs to be told. Told often and told well and lived well. And we are the people He's tasked with doing. So, God is a Trinity, a triunity. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Spirit. When I pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. So, let's do that now. And then we'll have an invitation, and as the Spirit leads you, come.